Back home on your bike. Matt snorts. I'm not. I have a new DJ starting today. You have to take her home or to the hospital or wherever. I roll my eyes. I don't have time for this shit. I have invoices, reports, emails. It's late. Drop her off, go home and sleep. Or get laid or do something to get that stick out of your ass. Seriously, man, I've been trying to give you some slack and I've put up with your overall dick attitude toward everyone, but it's taking a toll on me. On you. On everyone who comes within 10 feet of you. Don't think I haven't seen you popping antacids round the clock. Matt reaches into my pocket and takes out my keys, since I don't have any extra hands. I'm so shocked that my non-confrontational, mostly obtuse, and usually self-involved brother noticed anything other than the amount of tits and ass the newest dancers I hired are showing. Even though Panic isn't a strip club, there are minimally dressed dancers on small stages in certain areas that work the crowd. I think Matt has slept with, or has tried to sleep with, all of them. He opens my baby. My black, mint-condition, hard-top 1970 Pontiac GTO. And helps me slide the unconscious woman in. She moans slightly, and as I lean inside to buckle her up, I think her eyes are about to flutter open. But instead, she just rolls her head back and continues to sleep. I close the door, but apparently Matt's not finished. All the shit you've gone through, Nikki, I've been here with you. He's still talking, which is annoying me even more. I don't need him telling me that I'm being an asshole and no one can stand being around me. Hell, I can't stand being around myself. No one has called me Nikki in a long time, and it signals that the rarely serious Matt means business. I've gone through it with you. It's my dad sitting in prison. It's my club that's sinking. And I lost a girl, too. I don't want to lose my twin brother. Matt says, looking at me with the same eyes I see when I look in the mirror. Take a breather. Take a day, a week, whatever the hell you need. But I want my brother back. The guy that used words instead of grunts and scowls to communicate. He says with a hard pat on the back before turning around and walking off. Before starting the car, I rifle through her purse again to see if she has anything in there I can use to call someone. I already know her phone requires a password because I tried earlier and it was no use. My mind starts to drift to all the shit from the past year, and my hands grip the steering wheel harder as I drive in silence. There's always so much noise around me. Silence is unusual and a little disconcerting, especially since it leads to thinking, which only brings back bad memories. Memories I obviously don't want to think about because there's nothing I can do about the past. But Matt's right that I need to do something to get my head right again. I'm only 34 years old, but I feel like an old man. My body aches from working too hard and not sleeping enough. All the years of partying hard at Panic, combined with the hellish past 12 months, have finally caught up with me, and I'm left feeling drained. I park in front of her building, which is one of those new high-rises that's totally fucked up the Miami Beach skyline. Kind of like my own, actually. Hey. I shake her slightly. Catherine, wake up. She stirs just a little but turns her body toward the door and continues to sleep. Annoyed, I get out of my car, hoping the sound of the door being slammed shut wakes her. But when I open her door, she's still out. Before I lift her up, I take her keys in my hand. She doesn't weigh much and she turns her face toward my neck, making herself comfortable in my arm. She's soft and admittedly gorgeous, which makes me angrier because now my underused cock begins to stir. But all it takes is the memory of Naomi to rein in my hard-on. How many times did I have to carry her home in the early mornings when she was too drunk to walk? I ignored the signs because I'd thought she was sweet and kind, but it was all a ruse. I make sure to remember that as I ride up the elevator and carry Catherine to her apartment. With one hand, I unlock the door and feel around blindly for the lights. A small apartment with white walls and wood furniture, not too frilly but definitely feminine, greets me. It's a loft with an open floor plan, so her bedroom is in one of the corners separated by one of those Asian-style room dividers that really hides nothing, and there's half a wall leading to the kitchen. I lay her down on her bed, and she immediately turns into her pillow. A moment of guilt stirs within me, and I feel bad leaving her here until I know she's fine. Even though I've been acting like an asshole lately, it doesn't mean I'm a bad guy. I'm not. In fact, if I was a bad guy...